How thirsty are you? How hungry are you? There's a promise in the Word of God. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. Now, I'm a Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost-filled. I'm a Pentecostal. And when Pentecostals generally see filled, we think of the Holy Spirit filling us. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a great truth. But this particular scripture is not about the Holy Spirit filling you. It's about being right with God and having His favor because of that. It's the hunger and thirst for righteousness. What are you going to be filled with? What you're hungry for? To be right with God. Righteousness simply means right, wise with God. And when a man's ways please the Lord because he's right with Him, he's even able to cause his enemies to be at peace with him. Does that mean your enemies are going to hug you and love on you and bless you? No. It means they're not going to be able to stand up against you and prevail. They're going to have to seek something other than defeating you in order to deal with you, because if God is for us and being right with Him causes Him to be for us, who can be against us? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, let me tell you about a little boy that was thirsty and how he dealt with this driving thirst. Impetuous little guy, evidently. He says, and this is a true story, he says, "Dad," that's how it's written. Dad answers from the other room, "What?" "I'm thirsty. Can you bring a drink of water?" "No," he said. "You had your chance. I told you to get a drink before going to bed. Lights out." 5 minutes later, "Dad." "What?" "I'm thirsty. Can I have a drink of water?" "I told you no. And if you ask again, I'll have to spank you." 5 minutes later, "Dad." "What?" "When you come in to spank me, would you bring me a glass of water?" That's thirsty, right? Hallelujah. You played the song that I was going to ask you to play. You had it on the agenda as the first song, "The Goodness of God." I want to read first from Psalm 27 and verse 13. David said, "I had fainted. I had been crushed. I had given up unless I believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living." I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Remember what Psalm 23 said? "Because the Lord is our shepherd, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7 said, "The Lord is good, and His mercy, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows them," which is the actual Hebrew word for knowledge in terms of cherishing them, "that are His." He knows them, not just through His knowledge of us, but through His watch care over us and His love for us. He knows them that trust in Him. Nahum actually means a comforter. That name means a comforter. And he had some strong words against the house of Israel. But he had words of comfort, and the comfort was, God is still in love with you. And God still wants to forgive you and restore you. If you'll repent and come back to Him, He's going to come back to you. That's the reoccurring theme of how God's love never fails. The Lord is good. That seems like the most simplistic revelation of His person that you could possibly imagine. It's so fundamental to who He is, many times we just look right over that. Bible said in the book of Hebrews, they that come to God, Hebrews chapter 11, And this is an imperative of faith. They must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That word seek him is in the situation of seeking him out, pursuing him. I think it was Tozer who wrote the book In Pursuit of God about that wonderful privilege and honor we have of seeking God. The Bible said we'll find him if we seek him with all of our heart. Can you say amen? Wholeheartedly seeking God. You shall find. Not because he's hiding. It's because there's so many distractions, so many other things to take our focus off of him. He will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed, fixed on you, because he trusteth in me. He will keep them in, say it with me, perfect peace. That sounds like it's an impossibility, and particularly in the perilous times of the end time. But the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. And the Bible says literally that we're be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Practical translation, don't worry about anything. Because other things entering in choke the word and cause it to become unfruitful. That means everything I read you from the scripture today, worry can cancel if you keep entertaining it. Everything you read from the Bible, every promise, every revelation of God, everything is canceled by worry, because worry is driven by fear. And one of the most repeated phrases in the New Covenant is fear not, fear not, fear not. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. For perfect love casts out all fear. That's not, you don't need deliverance from fear, because some spirit of fear, it may be oppressing you because you've invited it in. But I'm going to tell you right now, the answer for fear is dwelling on, believing in the perfect love that God has for you. And when things go haywire and when things go wrong, the first thing our natural mind and tendency to do is to question the love of God. But they that come to God for anything, under any circumstance, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him out. Now, he is doesn't just mean that you're not an atheist. It's a given that God exists. You couldn't be a Christian if you didn't believe that truth. So it's more than just believing that he exists, but it's about who he is. Not just what he does, but who he is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. They that come to God must believe that he is what? Who he is. What did he tell Moses? Who shall I say sent me? Tell him, I am that I am. And it's about knowing who he is. Not just what he can do or what he might do or what he will do, but who he is. So, look at this scripture. I hope you get a little different perspective in just a little bit. Because I want my faith to work. I need my faith to work. I need to understand what the scriptures are saying. If I don't get it, I won't get it. If you don't get it, you won't get it. We don't want bits and pieces. Meditating on the word will show you things that just scanning over it to say I read a chapter will never give you. Study is not about scanning over it. It's about Selah. And that's why you see Selahs in the Psalms. Musically, it would be where there's a composition and you're singing, they're playing all of the notes, and suddenly there's a pause where no instrument is playing before they start playing again. That in music would be a Selah, or the meaning of the word Selah. It's capitalized. And you know what it actually connotates and specifically means? It means whatever was just stated, don't just go quickly to the next verse. It means to sit down and calmly contemplate this. I call it spiritual mastication, where you don't just, you chew it up before you try to swallow it. Some things you have to chew on a little while before you swallow it. You don't just bolt it down. You know how many times you're supposed to chew something before you swallow it? Something like 23. I don't know what the etiquette is or the specific is. Most of us are really hungry when we go to eat. And I haven't chewed even, it's hard for me to chew gum 23 times without, you know, stopping or something, let alone food. I don't bother chewing. Just get it to where it can go down. You know what is the saying? Over the teeth and through the gums. Let's hear it. Come on, you're a good group this morning. You don't know the rest of that? Over the teeth and through the gums. Oh, you got it. We got some people in here that are on target today.
Look out, stomach. Here it comes.
Look out, stomach. Here it comes. Meditation is not some, biblically, is not some Eastern religion thing where you just, you know, what is it? They say, they're focusing, and I don't know. But I just get into Word, and I say, too. I say, good. Good. That's what Jesus Christ is, good. Campbell stole that from me. Anyway, God is good. And that's what Nahum was saying. God is good. We say it in the simplest of blessing. First thing I learned as a child to pray over food was God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for this food. And that goodness, they that come to God must believe that He is. That means that you know who He is, not what He does, but who He is, because who He is the reason that He does what He does. It's because He's who He is that He does what He does. Now, I can see you're about to jump out of your seat, but that's okay. Amen. If you knew who He was, let me tell you what would happen. They that do know their God shall be weak, unstable, weary, wore down, beleaguered, defeated, depressed. No, they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Can you say amen? They that do what? Know about Him, believe in Him? No, they that know Him. That's why the driving force in the Apostle Paul was not just to know all of His miracles and know the power of the charismata, of the gifts of the Spirit. But, oh, that I might know Him. Can you say amen? Oh, that I might know Him. That caused him to seek Him. And when you seek Him, see, if you need healing, seek the healer, not just seek healing. Because if you find the healer, if you have a relationship to and with the healer, and you know He is the healer, like the woman with the issue of blood. She knew something about Him. It was her knowledge of something about Him. Amen. And she said, if I can touch the hem of His garment, I believe that I'm going to be healed. She went to many physicians and grew worse. There was a time, not then, but later on in the dark ages, where they thought if you got sickness and you're weak and emaciated and can't hardly stand up, what you need is someone to make a cut on you and bleed that bad blood out of you. Instead of giving you an infusion or a transfusion, they give you a Dracula. Yeah, that's Dracula. You know what I'm talking about. It's Halloween season. They take more blood from you. Boy, I'm glad I'm living in the 21st century. I would hate to go in weak, can't hardly stand up, and have them take more blood from me. Amen. What do? They give you blood. They infuse it into you. So This is an incredible thing about the knowledge of God. They that do know their God will be strong and do exploits. When it says they that come to God must believe that He is, we usually stop thinking about it, stop looking any deeper into it, and we don't associate it with the knowledge of who He is, but that He has the power. It's all about power instead of person. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You can't just read Scripture anywhere and some magical, mystical power suddenly come alive within you. It's something specific in the Word of God that is revealed that causes you to have faith in God. And it's all about the revelation of a person, not what he has, but who he is. He has all power in heaven and earth. He's omnipotent is a theological term. Omnipotent, omnipotent. It means he has all power, not some, not 99.9%, all power. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He has seen the end from the beginning. He knows you inside out. And the wonder of it all, he loves you outside in. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He loves you. So we don't doubt. We get it. It's almost a given. If he wasn't omnipotent, he couldn't have created what's created with his word. God is all powerful and can do all things. He's all knowing and knows how to do all things. That's why it said he knows how to deliver the righteous. How's he going to get me out of a mess like this? Well, it's not your department. The guy just said it in the testimony in our first song. I don't have to know how he's going to do it. I just have to know him well enough to trust him to do it. He has the power to do it. He has the knowledge of how to do it. All-knowing, all-powerful, omnipresent. You said it during the praise part of the service. He's here. When we gather in his name, he is in the midst of us. So he has all the power to do it. He has all the knowledge of how to do it. And he's here to carry it out. Listen, where two or more gathered in my name, where is he? There am I. Where? Aloof in his heaven, may feel that way, seem that way. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Where is he? He's right here in the midst of us. And what's he here for? What's he going to do? Amen. What is the point? Is it just so we can get a liver shiver on Sunday morning, feel a goose pimple? Where two or more of you are gathered to my name, there am I in the midst of them. And if two of you on earth shall agree as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be. God doesn't mince words. No wonder faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, because God doesn't mince words. I make no excuses when I read Scripture. I make no excuses for God, no excuses for me not believing Him. Amen? I think God is really tired of us making excuses for Him, apologizing for Him saying what He said. If He didn't mean it, He wouldn't have said it. If He didn't purpose it, He would have never promised it. So don't let anybody, including your own reasoning, don't let anybody talk you out of anything that He has purposed and reveal that purpose through a promise. Because the promise reveals a purpose. And if we ask anything according to His will, what happens? We know that He hears us. And if we, this is the confidence. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have the petition that we've desired of Him. That's know-so faith, not hope-so faith. Amen? They that come to God must believe that He is. I'm going to submit to you part of that knowledge of His person that it's talking about. Not just knowledge that He exists somewhere up there, but the knowledge of His person. They that do know their God, they that do know their God shall be strong. Be strong in the Lord. Yes, that's power by the Holy Spirit. This is not that power. It's that faith that we release in Him because we know Him enough to trust in Him. I don't believe you can ever comprehend New Testament faith until you understand old covenant trust. When I say faith, particularly in the way it's been presented today in the hyper faith movement, you read the scriptures and this mystical, magical force comes alive within you to believe. And most of it, listen, the promises are the catalyst for faith. They're the stimulant for faith. It gives you something to hope for and reach out by faith to receive. But faith doesn't come by promises. Faith comes by the knowledge of a person who made the promise. Knowledge, listen, I use Brother Taylor because he's a man of integrity. I trust him not to just tell me some old lie to get my hopes up and then let me down. If he told me, a rich relative of mine that I didn't even know I had, came out of the woodwork somewhere up in my family tree and said, I want this man to have my fortune. And I'm leaving $10 million to Brother Taylor. And a lawyer comes and says, Brother Taylor, I'm authorized. All you got to do is sign here. Got a will. You identify yourself as this person. Show me that identification. And you sign right here. And $10 million will be transferred to your bank account. And I know your wife knows the number. Transfer it to. Because mine does too. Right, Rose? Yeah, amen. Sister Rose said, anyway, we won't go there. My wife helps me too. I need a lot of help, Brother Taylor. But what if he told me, you've been talking about an Escalade. He brought me a mic that I can drop, and I keep forgetting to bring it because of some drop mic things here. I can't drop this one because it might injure it. But that one will take it. What if he told me, I'm going to meet you at the Cadillac dealership. 9 o'clock on Monday morning. And that Escalade you wanted, I want you to order one, and I want you to order it with everything you could possibly desire in it. I don't care if it costs $125,000. I don't know. Sounds too good to be true. Number one, I don't even know if he's that rich to begin with. And number two, he might have backslid, and he's just baiting me. He wants me to show up at the Cadillac dealership, and he ain't going to show. I'd hate to go down there and get so humiliated. I don't think I'm going down to the Cadillac dealership, get humiliated, get my hopes up and get them dashed. I'm just going to sit right here and wonder how I can get my car fixed. Pay for it. No, because he's a man of integrity, because I know him well enough to trust him. I'm going to be at the Cadillac dealership at 8 o'clock in the morning to make sure I don't miss that 9 o'clock appointment. Would you do that? I mean, this is practical stuff. And why would I do that? Because I believe that he would not tell me some bald-faced lie. He wouldn't play with my emotions. He wouldn't promise me something that he didn't intend fully to fulfill. If he had the ability to do it, he has the integrity. God has the ability. Will you give him the integrity? He watches over his word to perform it. Can you say, man, hath he not said it? And shall he not do it? It's something about him, his person. And beyond his integrity is his goodness. His goodness. His goodness. Psalm 107. Oh, that men would give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Now, before you jump into your confession, from sharing that you are redeemed and giving your testimony, back up to the first verse before you go there. Because just testifying to His goodness without a real understanding of His person and what goodness means when it relates to God is not enough to believe that He is good. And I believe that's what that's talking about, because it's all throughout the Old Covenant. The Lord is good. It says it over, over. It's a repetitive phrase. Well, it must be very important if you say it over and over again. Believing He exists? Let me tell you how much faith it takes to do that. Thou sayest there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils believe, and they tremble at that reality. So you got as much faith as the devils when you believe that He exists. It takes more than that to believe that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You got to know something about Him, that you put your trust in Him, unwavering trust in Him. I met with pastors last Tuesday morning, and you know, the man that asked me to anoint him with oil and pray the prayer of faith for him. He said, I bet I take more pills than you do, Pastor Venable. I said, if you take a pill, you take more than me. Now, I'm not bragging. I want to be very careful here. I'll take anything I need if I have a need. I'll go to any doctor, have any surgery, have anything I need if I have a need. But if it ain't broke, thank you for the holy murmurs. If it ain't broke, I'm going to tell you today, it ain't broke. It ain't broke. I do not have a hyperactive thyroid or a hypoactive thyroid. I had a stroke 10 years ago. And you know, they checked me stem to stern. I'm literally, well, I was in the hospital 2.5 days. It was a bad stroke. The nurse called it a miracle that I could walk out in 2.5 days with no impediments, no follow-up. They didn't find anything wrong, but my eye doctor that I went to, I told you I believe in doctors that, you know, checked my eyes, and he looked in my eyes, and I told him about the stroke, and he said, I see no evidence of any blood vessel that was, you know, usually there's some small capillaries in the eye that burst when you have something going on up here. And I said, well, my blood pressure's fine. Everything checked out fine. He said, tell me about your life at that time. I said, caregiver to my mother till she passed, caregiver to my dad, caregiver to my wife after open heart surgery, caregiver here, caregiver there, helping my sons, taking care of the church, any needs of anyone that I can. And he said, you were under a lot of stress. I said, yes. And he said, how often do you take a vacation? I said, rarely if ever. Rarely if ever. Rarely if ever, because I'm tied to these responsibilities. He said, that'll do it. That's all it takes for you to have a stress. So I just started working on stress management. And one of the things that's part of my personal prescription for stress management, in all things, with prayer and supplication. That means definite request, not just, Lord, I just need a lot of help. I'm toe up from the flow up and I need fixing. No, just be specific with God. Prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known unto the Lord. And the peace with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. For being who you are. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. It's always with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto the Lord. And if you leave it there, like the song says, the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep. That word keep is like a fortress. A mighty bulwark is our God. Can you say a mighty fortress is our God? Keeping your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ. the peace of God that passes all understanding. But they that come to God in prayer, releasing their faith, must believe that He is. Is what? He is good. He's God, and He is good. And that's why the love flows from Him. It's because He's good. Sounds so simplistic. Because God's goodness talks about His absolute 100% purity. In Him, there is no darkness at all. Neither a shadow of turning. There's no way God is going to not be faithful to His own character, His own integrity, His own holiness, His own purity. Can you say amen? And our God is good. He has power. Remember the Narnia Chronicles? C.S. Lewis writings? And he uses these analogies. And there's a lion. Aslan, the mighty lion. He is powerful and imposing. And the little girl comes up and sees this mighty, huge, fierce lion. And she asked the person with her about Aslan. She said, "Is he dangerous?" And that person is honest. "Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Is it it's a fearful thing to fall into his hands for judgment. Is he dangerous? You better have a real clear understanding, amen, that God is going to judge the wicked. He's going to judge the world. Is he dangerous? Don't fear him that can kill the body and do nothing else, but fear him that has the power to cast both soul and body into hell. Can you say amen? Is he dangerous? Yes, he is. But in order to get her to approach him and find out how loving and kind and gracious he was. Is he dangerous? Yes. But he is good. He is good. He is good, and every grace, every mercy, every love that flows from Him is because of what He is and who He is, not just what He does. It's what's behind all of the things that He does. It's why He sent His Son. It's why Jesus went to the cross. It's because God is good. And that's why this psalm starts with, "Give thanks to the Lord because He's what? He's good." And because He's good, what happens? His mercy endures forever. Now, you can go to most commentaries on this, and you know what it's going to say? The next verse is all about it. It's about the redeemed talking about Him, His goodness, being grateful for the things He's done for them, giving Him praise for the things He's done for them. I want to show you something here that's not in those commentaries. I looked just to see if what I was seeing in the Word lined up with them, and it doesn't, so I could be wrong. There's a 99.9% chance that I am. That's a humble way of putting it, isn't it? I know pride goeth before destruction, y'all, and a haughty spirit before a thaw. No, I just want you to know something. We skip immediately to the redeemed telling the things He's done for us and praising Him for it with gratitude. But we don't stop at the goodness. That's what we're missing. Because it's too simplistic. It's too fundamental to everything else. The Bible said God has power. But the Bible says in 1 John, we've known and believed the love that God has for us because God is loving? No, because, yes, He is loving, but that's not the reason. Because God is. Because God is. Because God is love. He that feareth is not perfected in love. Perfect love. The kind that God loves us with, because He is love, casteth out how much fear? All of it. Why should I worry? Why should I fret? I've got a mansion builder and He ain't through with me yet. Amen. We miss this essence of God. We must believe that He is They that come to God must believe that He is love and that He is good because of that. The Lord is good. That's why His mercy never fails. His mercy never ends. It's because of who He is that He does what He does. Are you seeing who He is a little bit different? All right, let me read this from the top. Let's listen to it. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endureth forever. Are we changing the whole thought? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let them verify that He's good by most of the commentaries will say, praise Him for His acts of goodness toward Israel, all the things He did to help them and show mercy to them. Let them say that. But before they say that, I believe there's something we need to get. And I got this, and it just blesses my soul. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He's good, and His mercy endures forever. That's the statement. Let the redeemed of the Lord that's experienced that goodness say so. Say what? Say so. Say so. What are they saying so to? The Lord is good. The Lord is good. What? I thought I was going to get a revelation today. I thought you were going to run around the church twice and have a wonderful time, and I'm going to go out of here not understanding the scripture and not having faith to believe, but boy, we had a great service. I get lifted up, have a Jericho march around the church Thursday afternoon. I'm not believing God. I'm not trusting God. I'm not leaning on God. I'm full of fear. Fear-driven worry and anxiety. It's breaking down my immune systems. Can you say amen in my physical body? It is mentally tormenting me. Fear hath torment. The Greek word is penal imprisonment. It puts you in a prison and punishes you. Amen. But perfect love casteth out all fear. He that feareth is not perfected in love. We've known and believed the love that God has for us, for God is love. They that come to Him must believe that He is love and that He is good. And therefore, because He is love and He is good, we can count on Him to be a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So when we jump over things, we miss things. What is your confession today? The Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. And it's repetitive throughout the entire Old Covenant. Wow. Say, great jumping, Jehoshaphat. He had a reason to jump for joy. Enemies came up against him, overwhelming enemies. You know what the battle plan God gave him? Have the singers go out. Appoint men. You picture these women, because men are usually sitting back and, you know, just looking at the watch, thinking about when the ball game starts. But so you think a bunch of women praisers and worshipers. Thank God for men here that worship. Amen. So He appointed men singers to worship God. And God told him, don't just have them sing a song of their choice. Have them sing a particular voice repetitively. The same thing over and over and over again. Does anyone know what they were told to say when they stood up against that army and sing it repetitively? It was not just the battle isn't, what is it? The battle is not the, well, he already told them, battle not yours, the battle of the Lord. How is He going to give them the victory? Because of a revelation of Him that they are saying through song. Have them say, the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Big hairy deal, huh? No, a revelation of who He is. So when we jump over that, we miss the point. They that come to God must believe that He is love. He is good. He has power, and He'll use that in our behalf. And if we don't, then our faith is just a waffling, wavering hope-so instead of a stalwart no-so. Hallelujah. Whatever you ask in prayer believing, Lord only knows what's going to happen. You can't count on anything. Huh? No. Whatever you ask in prayer believe is just because of your faith? No, it's because of His faithfulness. He watches over His word to perform it. It's because of His love. Amen. His love never changes. It never wanes. It never runs dry. What is that song? He never runs out. He never runs out on me. The love of God never runs out on me. If we don't get our faith to a place where we can use it, it is useless to us. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because you can't represent this king in this kingdom as a beat up, beleaguered, half mauled to death sheep that the devil's been gnawing on all week long, and there's no victory. We're victims of the world. We're victims of everything else. We're victims of our circumstances. Amen. No, no, no. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We've known and believed the love God has for us, for God is love. They that come to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed say so. So would you say so this morning? Says who? Says me. Says you. Says us. And I'm just going to pull some verses out of here. Listen to it. Oh, that verse 8 and 9. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry with goodness. 21 and 22. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. With rejoicing. Don't forget rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoicing. Verse 31 and 32. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people, and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. For what? His goodness, which allows Him to show His mercy and His grace to us. But it all starts with who He is. Verse 43 says, who is wise and will observe these things? That's the last verse of this psalm. Even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Once again, God is love. You know what the Hebrew word to hear? I need a little spittle in my throat. Maybe a drink would be more sufficient. Seed. In the Hebrews, hasid. What is hasid? In the not the Greek, the Hebrew. It's not easily translated into English. The word means more than simply kindness. Often translated as loving kindness, hasid means giving oneself fully with love and compassion. Giving oneself fully with love and compassion. Hasid. That is a revelation of the unchanging character of God. God is love. Hasid. And because He is love, He gives himself completely. And that's why he sent his son. And that's why Jesus stayed on that cross. It's because God is love. Love held him there. Make no mistake about it. Don't make him a... He was a victim because he let them. As a lamb dumb before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. But don't see him as a victim. He is very God. Now, we got a teaching out there today. It gets crazier as time goes on. That Jesus divorced himself from being God and died as a man on the cross and had to be redeemed in hell and became the first man that was redeemed. God cannot be separated from Jesus. He's Emmanuel, God with us. I and my Father are one, and they did not separate on the cross, and he didn't need to be saved because he never sinned. Does that upset you to hear this kind of poo-poo? That's crazy. And everybody's looking for a new revelation. They don't even have the fundamental revelation of who he is. Believe that God is. I believe that. Oh, yeah? Is what? Is God. Well, who is God? That's the question. Who is God? He's good. He's merciful. And his mercy endures forever. That last verse says, whosoever is wise and will observe all these things, even they shall understand the Hasid. They shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Now, if I was in a Sunday school class with little children, I'd put it this way. So I'm going to talk to you like a Sunday school class. Kindness is giving someone a piece of bread when they're hungry. Loving kindness is putting peanut butter and jelly on it. Can you say amen? That's simplistic. The loving kindness of God is all about who he is. The Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. What happened when they said that revelation of him? Because he told them, go out and tell that enemy, stand and declare, I'm good and my mercy endures forever. That's your battle cry. I never hear that as a battle cry. I hear a lot of other songs about victories and victory chants, but the Lord is good, his mercy endures forever as a battle cry. He told them specifically, have the singers go out and say, put it in song, but say it. Let the redeemed of the Lord do what? What? Say so. Say so. About what? What is verse 1? The Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Go out, stand before the enemy, and say so. Let them say what? What? Somebody almost got an H. The Lord is good? Is that what they said? Was it true of God? Was it a revelation of God? Was it something he was going to back up by giving them a tremendous victory on that day? What happened when they said so in song? Over and over and over. Threefold enemy. All set on the destruction of Israel. The spirit of confusion came into them. And every man turned his weapon on the man next to him. And they begin to fight and kill each other. While these praisers, these singers, were singing, the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Amen? And they kept killing each other till there was only two left. And they run each other through and both of them fell down. And Israel went out and looked at all of these dead bodies. And how did God give them the victory? He said, get the singers out there and have them sing a Pentecostal song. No, he said, come on. We think we can just work up enough to make the devil run off. Then you say, man, we can work up enough emotion, enough steam. Come on, I'm talking about faith. They that come to God must. This is an imperative. You can't get this through shouting. You can't get it through a Jericho march. You can't run fast enough around the building. You can't jump high enough because you're going to have to stop running at some point. You're going to have to come down no matter how high you jump. If you fall down, you're going to have to get back up. But you're going to have to walk out of here in the real world and face a real enemy. And you're going to deal with a real God that says, if you want me to help you, you got to believe that I am and that I'm a rewarder of them that seek me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And there's no circumventing it, and there's no way around it, and there's no back door to it. I'm tired of defeat. I'm tired of absolute depression. I'm tired of seeing God's people defrauded out of what He has provided. Because we're looking for a word from the Lord rather than receiving the word of the Lord. Back in the day, our church on Sunday morning was full. I taught adult Sunday school. 8 to 12 people for Bible study. 8 to 12 people. You had a good word. I wish you'd give it today if you remember the rest. I won't put you on the spot, so don't panic. My people perish. A lack of knowledge. The whole verse. Putting it in context. So if we just say my people perish for lack of knowledge, finish that. This is about the priests, the leaders even.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being priests before me. And because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children.
Is that serious? What was their issue? Lack of knowledge. The average Pentecostal doesn't come to church to know more when they left than when they came in. They would rather see me shout than to get a hold of something that can help them on Thursday afternoon when they need God desperately. They would rather fall out and get up and say, what a wonderful service, than to have enough faith to say no to the devil when the tempter comes. And use the what? The shield of faith that does what when it's in use? Quenches all the flaming arrows, the fiery darts. How many? How many get through and do you harm? How many get through to overcome you? And why were they fiery, flaming arrows? Because in those old days, a lot of the armies, most in fact, before ore was found and iron ore was found, they carried a wooden shield with leather over it. And they had these big wooden shields. Swords couldn't go through them. And arrows couldn't pierce them. They were thick and heavy. But a flaming arrow wrapped in cloth and dipped in oil and set on fire. You want to throw panic into a well-disciplined army? Let all of those arrows come. They'll use their shields for those arrows. And they won't penetrate the shield, but they will set the shield on fire. And pretty soon, the panic of this fire, this shield that is now on fire, the flaming darts, flaming arrows, is dropped in panic. And now they don't need flaming arrows anymore. Because the shield, through fear and panic, has been dropped and lowered. What happens now? Every arrow penetrates the soldier. Do you see the strategy of the devil? Drop your shield so my arrows can get to you. And what is the shield? It's the shield of faith that quenches all of the flaming arrows. Say it with me, flaming arrows, fiery darts. Not those ones you used to throw in the bar. I know you didn't go to the bar. I wasn't trying to convict you. But I was lost before I got saved, so I know about these things. So I watch God's people, close friends, relatives, God's children, living as if God isn't good. Living as if God isn't good. Not seeking knowledge. Not seeking knowledge. Just repeat the cliched parts of the scripture to me. No, we can't keep doing that. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Let the redeemed say. Let them say. Let them say. Hold fast your confession of faith without wavering. For he is. God is. You've got to believe about who he is. Not just what he has, but who he is. What he has is irrelevant if you don't know who he is. You have that, did I say 100 million? 10 million? 10 million. That's enough to get me an Escalade. You can tithe it to me. It's because I know who he is, I'm going to show up at the dealership. Not just because I know what he has. That's not enough to receive. I have to show up at the dealership. And by the way, when he signs a check to me to buy it, he signs his part. He's out. It's up to me now. There's a place for me to sign. I can't cash that check till I sign it. Do you understand that? Anybody still get paid by check? No, it's all electronic. Does anybody remember getting paid by check? Was it already endorsed by the company? Was there a place for you to sign it? Could you cash it until you signed it? What? You mean you got a check for a week's work, but you can't cash it and do anything with it until you sign it? You have to do something. It's not all done for you. You got to actually do something by an act of faith that the people who signed it would make it good if you signed it too, and the bank says if you sign it, it's good. How many signed checks are laying around and accumulating promises, unfulfilled in the life of God's children. What good is a promise that he's already endorsed? He put it this way. Peter, I'm giving you some keys to understanding how the kingdom of God operates. Keys to the kingdom. What you bind on earth. What you bind on earth. Not just shall be bound in heaven. That's the actual reading. But it means it's already bound in heaven. In other words, you have to discover God's will through a surrender to it and a belief in it. And what you bind shall be bound, and what you loose shall be loosed. If I give you a key to a safe deposit box, and I tell you, I have deposited in that safe deposit box in your name $10,000. I'll just go ahead and say $100,000. Just pick. I would go down there. There have been times I'd go down there for 10 bucks if I could. Didn't use enough gas to get there and get back. There have been times. Generally, you go. I went in my mother's safe deposit box. There wasn't much in there. But I took care of things after she passed away. I have to take a death certificate. The bank has a key. And then they go with you. They use their key to unlock their part. You got to use your key. They can't do no more. It's up to you now. They can give you the key, but you got to use it. What would happen If we came to get some knowledge and apply that knowledge when we get out of here, what would happen? I mean, I'm going to do some more shouting. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to quit shouting, but I want you to know you can't just get your faith off the bleed off of my victory. Your faith is not going to be helped by just getting the overflow of Brother Venable's victory. And I needed what you gave me today in song. I had a hard week too. And that's why the Lord in His great kindness and mercy had a guy come and mow my yard so that I wouldn't have to use my energy to do it. And why would He do that? They're all over the neighborhood wanting you to give them $50 to mow a little piece of ground. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Amen. When God does those little things, I was working for Tampa Electric. We're talking about His goodness, His kindness, His loving kindness. I remember when I went to work for Tampa Electric. Back in the day, there was a new bread. You know what it was called? It was a brown bread. Kind of. It wasn't like Roman meal wheat. I never liked that. It was kind of not sweet. Good for you, but not good to you. But they came out with some bread. Maybe it's because I'm from Kentucky. They called it hillbilly bread. I don't know if you remember hillbilly bread. It was a brown bread, very soft and sweet. Oh, no, you city folks didn't buy no hillbilly bread. You see that and say, ain't buying no hillbilly bread. Amen. Might be laced with moonshine. No. Hillbilly bread. And so I got up. I was supposed to head out to work when I worked for Tampa Electric full time. And I got up. And I thought to myself, I need to make myself some kind of sandwich for lunch. But I really didn't feel hungry. I never ate breakfast. I was get up and go, and I was running on almost some adrenaline or something. But boy, after in the hot sun all day around noon, everything's depleting. And so I was sitting under a tree watching everybody eat lunch. And I thought to myself, boy, if I had me, you know, when you get real hungry, I don't know about you, but I get food on my mind. I've done that while fasting. There have been things I don't even consider until I'm fasting. And all of a sudden I think, boy, that can of tomato soup with some oyster crackers, or as my dad used to say, oyster crackers. Amen. That would be good. I'd like to eat me a can of tomato soup with oyster crackers. Man, if I could go in and fix me a big old steak or a ham sandwich or chicken and dumplings, I'm not after no can of soup. But you get in about the second day of a fast, that can of soup start looking good. Maybe I'll go on a partial fast, right? Eat me a can of soup. I'm sitting under that tree, and I'm actually feeling a little weak, and I need to pick me up. And it's my own fault because I didn't use wisdom and fix me a lunch. And you know what? I was just thinking. I'm sitting under that tree watching everybody eat. And I said, boy, and back then, now see, there's some like an knowledge that's good, like what Spam's made out of. I don't have no idea. Wieners? Wieners, I don't have no idea. In fact, that's a lack of knowledge that I don't want to know. I don't want to know what's in it. If you tell, it doesn't mean it's not sanitary. It's high fat. We all know that. But that's, Lord only knows what they put in there. Amen. I know it's not good for you now. And that takes away some of the, you know, joy of eating it. But Spam. There's even a club that meets once a year of people who love Spam. You know what's in Spam? Byproducts, right? We don't want to know what kind of byproducts. It'll say meat and meat byproducts. If you open up the inside of something, there's a whole lot of stuff in there called byproducts. I ate goat belly soup in Jamaica, way out in the boondocks of Jamaica. They killed curry goat and onion. And the meat and the curry and the onion was really flavorful. But the goat belly soup, I thought, what is that? Goat belly soup. They don't waste anything out in the boonies of Jamaica. So all kinds of byproducts they make soup out of, so nothing is wasted. And they had these styrofoam coffee cups. It's kind of like before you eat the full thing, this is, here's your soup. Then you eat the main course. So they brought me a cup. A little kid brought me a cup. He said, here. And it's goat belly soup. And I started sipping the gravy. It tastes okay. You can put a curry in it. It kind of covers up some other things. Curry's pretty strong spice. And then I got a hold of something there. Something in there. Something. And this was a female goat. And there was a teat that the baby suck on. Goat belly. The belly had been chopped up and made, threw in the pot with the soup. So I got, you know, I had drunk down to where I could see what was in it. And I had a heart of compassion. And I saw those hungry children. And I saw a little boy watching me like he was hungry. And I thought, I'm going to be a great Christian today. I'm going to give him the rest of my goat belly soup. I give him that soup. Boy, he turned it up. And when he slurped, I saw the last remnants of that teat go down. And he swallowed that. And, you know, it was fun, good, great for him. But little problem for me. Today, I am deeply concerned that we're reading over Scripture that we've read hundreds of times and we've heard hundreds of times, and we think we've got a real handle on it. We're not perishing for lack of provision by God. Perishing saints, perishing covenant children are perishing because of a singular reason: for lack of knowledge. And knowledge initially is the knowledge of God first and foremost. What happens to the word? If anyone hears it and understands it not, what happens if you don't comprehend and you don't get it and you don't get it right when you read it or hear it? What happens? Immediately, Satan seizes on that. He knows what's going to happen if faith comes by hearing and we use our faith. His fiery darts do not come through. They do not hurt you. They do not harm you. They will not defeat you. They will not destroy you. Can you say amen? My people are destroyed because they haven't sought knowledge of me and knowledge of what pleases me and knowledge of how to deal with me. My people are perishing, and they have a promise that I will defend them. A promise that I will give them victory. But they can't just say anything. They got to say, no matter what they feel, no matter what they see, no matter how it seems, the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Let them say so. Getting rid of the where, getting rid of the why, getting rid of the what. Let the redeemed of the Lord say the truth about God and stand on it. But let him first know it. If any man hear my word and understandeth it not, immediately Satan cometh. To do what? To steal what was sown, lest it take root and grow and bear fruit. What is the fruit of the word rightfully divided by revelation? Faith cometh. Faith cometh. What was he explaining to them? Some seed. I am the sower, he said. The seed is the word of God. Some seed fell by the wayside. What is the wayside? Is that that ditch on the other side of the road? No, it was a pathway in Scripture. It was a path through a field that people cut across to get where they were going. And you could plant that entire field that had been plowed. But that footpath that had been packed down, the seed laid on the top of the ground so it couldn't germinate. It's got to get in the ground to germinate. If it don't germinate, it can't come alive. If it can't come alive, it can't bear fruit. It can't grow up. It can't bear fruit. We see this fruit barrenness in the body of Christ today. And the hyper faith movement has subverted it to where we think we're over in that camp if we talk about it. No, this is not a camp. This is the truth from the Word of God. It's been subverted. Don't throw away the baby with the bath water, or you will have no shield when you need it. And Satan is a thief. He came to steal. He came to kill. He came to destroy. But he has to get you to let that shield down to do any of it. That's why, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because you can't even get saved without it. For we're saved by grace. What's your part? My part. Through faith. You can't get delivered without it. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you have them and you shall have them. You can't do business with God. It's the law of faith. Why could not we cast them out? Because of your lack of faith. You need more than authority. You need more than power. Holy Ghost tongue-talking people got the power. So where are we living today? Where are we living today? Are we living trapped in that prison house of fear? Are we living looking at the things that are coming on the earth and getting the same attitude in us that is captivating the entire world today? Men's hearts failing them. We got a political system that is as bad broken as anything can ever be broken. And instead of fixing things, they're making it worse. We know that. It's bad. And it's getting worse. We know what's going to happen in the end time. Evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse. Deceiving. We better get a hold of some faith somewhere along the line. Because you're going to get caught up in the same. You're going to look. You know what? You're going to look just like the world looks right now. And it ain't looking good. Let me tell you the good news. Man's systems are failing. Thank the Lord they are. Why? Oh, Brother Vim, it's going to get rough. Yeah, it's going to get so rough, you might have to use your faith. You might have to get it out. You might have to dust it off. You might have to get some of the rust off of it. Amen. You might have to pull that shield, that sword out of the sheath. Get it out of your heart and into your mouth. When Jesus comes, there's a sword coming out of his mouth. Isn't that weird? The sword of the Spirit is the what? Word of God. When he comes to declare his victory and obtain that victory, manifest that victory, a sword went out of his mouth. What is the sword of the Spirit? The Word of God. Let me tell you something. The word in your mouth has no less authority than the word in his mouth, because it's God's word. And if it don't get out of your heart and into your mouth, if you don't say so, if you don't say, you know, most of us say what we feel. We say what we think. We say what our circumstances dictate. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this. Let the singers say this. The Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. Oh, I want to see victory. I want to see victory. If this seed falls by the wayside, Satan will steal it. You'll never use it. There are people never come to the website, never listen to a sermon. There are people never came to Sunday school to be taught the Word of God. There are people bored when the Word of God is taught. They'd rather it be preached under a fiery anointing. It can be taught under anointing. You know how Jesus got the Word disseminated to all those people? You're not going to like this, Pentecostals. You ain't going to like it. You probably, they stayed for 3 days. I doubt you lasted 30 minutes. Some people I know. On the mount, he sat down right there. That's that boy. What time is this thing over? When is he going to get done? He sat down and what? Taught them there. Sat down and taught them. One time he got in a boat, pushed it out a little bit, and taught them from standing on the boat. Down at Mary Martha's house, Jesus started teaching them. And Martha said, I ain't got time for this. I got things to do. We need Marthas. We couldn't eat without them. Can you say amen? But we need Martha to be balanced with Mary. We need Martha Mary and Mary Martha. And Martha's upset with Mary because Jesus is teaching. There are no miracles occurring. He's not running around the building. He's not turning water into wine. He's not feeding thousands. He's teaching. And Martha sat down at his feet, hanging on every word. Did you hear what I said? And Martha got upset with Mary because there's things to be done. And she came to the Lord. She said, Lord, tell Mary to come and help me. She's just sitting there. We got to feed all these people. And he looked up at her and said, Martha, Martha. Martha, Martha. What was that gal on TV? Marsha, Marsha. You got, y'all are sharp as tack this morning. And my dad would say, you're so sharp, you must have been eating razor soup. Martha, Martha, you're concerned about so many things, but Mary hath chosen that good thing. Listen, everything I've said today is going to be stolen from you, Martha. It ain't going to help you a bit. None of it. The whole discourse, Jesus' teaching will help you, not at all. But Mary, on the other hand, hanging on every word that I'm saying, the devil can't steal it because she's getting knowledge right here. She's getting knowledge right here. It's not going to be taken from her. What she's getting is going to last her past this gathering and this food and all of this stuff. When I leave, it's still going to be in her. When I ascend, it's going to be in her. And God is going to water that word, and God's going to watch over that word, and God's going to honor that word in her. But she's going to have to sit still for a little while to get it. For the cares of this life and other things entering in choke the word and cause it to become unfruitful. And it's unfruitful word in the life of Christians that is causing them to not live in the purposed, promised victory that God offers us in Jesus Christ. And if I didn't know that God was good, and that His mercy endures forever, and that God is love, so when I read the scripture, and it says you must believe that God is, I believe He is love. And I believe He is good. And because He's love and He's good, I have an expectation. Amen. I have an expectation. I have an expectation. If He loved us enough, logic of the cross, Romans 8, verse 32. If He loved us enough, if He loved us enough, it's who He is that causes Him to do what He does. Say that with me and at least get that much. It's who He is that causes Him to do what He does. Oh, I want you to say it again. It's who He is that causes Him to do what He does. So don't just say what He does. Say who He is first and then give Him praise for what He does. They that come to God must believe that He is, and therefore He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Therefore, whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. And it's the receiving of those promises that grants us the victory that we all desperately need. But you can't get it by not going to Bible study. You can't get. I've seen people, when they had a revival in Lakeland, there were people stayed in motels so they could go to Carpenter's Home Church. I went. I wanted to see what it was all about. I didn't get any more knowledge from it. I did fall out under the power of God because God was moving mightily. And I know a lot of the other people there. There were people from our church there. It was 1 o'clock in the morning before the line got through, the laying on of hands line. Nothing against that. But I'm saying those that went down under the power of God and got up without knowledge are going to perish anyway when the battle begins. Do you understand what I'm telling you? But it was worth having hands laid on and experiencing the power to wait till 1 in the morning. We're going to get out of here at 1 o'clock if I quit soon. Do you realize that's an hour past? That's about an hour past what most people are looking for in their church experience on Sunday morning. Give me a good praise team. Make me want to pat my feet. I love to hear their music. Do you know any more when you left than when you went in? No, you didn't know one more thing. There's no revelation to you. The shield of faith, when the fiery darts hit it, if faith doesn't sustain, we'll drop our shield. And then the darts don't have to be fiery anymore. They can pierce. They can pierce us. And there's too many defrauded, because they're defrauded. Not because God is unfaithful, hasn't purposed and provided our victory, but because we have been defrauded. He's a thief. To defraud means to take something that rightfully belongs to you from you. That's what defrauding you is. To have you order something online and not send it to you. It rightfully belongs to you. They didn't send it. You've been defrauded. The devil is defrauding believers out of the victory that God has provided, therefore purposed and promised, revealed his purpose in a promise. So here we are today. Some people are looking for a Pentecostal church so they can shout and dance. I shout and dance, and there will be shouting, dancing services. But if Jesus came in and sit down to teach, who's going to come for that? My heart used to be broken because I would see a church full with using the balcony on a Sunday when we're going to have a Holy Ghost service. But when I taught Sunday school, Bible study, we had two people come for the teaching. They didn't stay for the service because they got what they wanted and what they came for during the teaching. I noticed them because they came every Sunday. They sat near the back. And I knew why they didn't stay for the rest of the service. First I questioned it, and then after a while I found out. The majority of the people that got blessed through the anointing didn't live very long, if at all, in any semblance of victory. The same people would be back in the same line for the same thing, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And I say, something isn't right. God was here in such force people couldn't stand on their two feet. But when they got up, with lack of knowledge, my people go into captivity. They're bound. Same reason. For lack of knowledge. It's not just what you know, it's who you know. They that do know their God. Because if you know him well enough to trust him, that's faith. If you know him well enough, it's not a force. It's knowing. It's practical. It's personal. It's precise. You can't trust him if you don't know him. Just by reading a promise. I know Brother Taylor. I'm going to be at the dealership. I know him enough to trust him. If he signs the top of the check, I'm not hesitant. I'm not going to stagger. as the Bible said it, the promise of God through unbelief, but be strong in faith, doing what? Bringing glory. Listen, it's a win-win. It's a win for me because I get what he wants me to have. It's a win-win for him because he gets glory when I have it. He don't get glory in my defeat. He don't get glory in my whining. He don't get glory in my questioning. He don't get glory out of my depression. I'm not here just to teach and to preach or to lord over God's heritage, but to be an example to the flock. I am not carefree in terms of the cares of life. I was wore out, and God sent someone to mow my yard. It just lifted me up. I said, Lord, look at him. That's Southern for look here. Dale used to sing it. Used to sing. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He saved my soul. Hallelujah. Let the redeemed of the Lord start saying something. Not waiting for something. It's in the saying something that is going to happen. Wow. He sat down and taught them. Hey, that felt good. I may do that some other Sunday. See how many leave or how many stay. I have to try to get some teaching in when I preach, because if I don't, it won't happen. And you'll be defrauded. And people will have you telling them what God can do for them, and they're going to take a real, real strong look at you when you go through things. And they're going to look at you on the job. They're going to look at you in the public, the marketplace, the world. They're going to look at you in the grocery line. They're going to look at you in the gas pump. They're going to look at you all over the place. And you are a living epistle. You're the gospel in shoe leather. And here's the truth, the way the world views us. Your life is speaking so loud. I can't hear a word that you're saying. But when your life lines up with what you're saying, you're going to get the ear of the Lord. And you better be ready. The Bible said you be ready instant in season, out of season. Don't even plan to be a witness. You can't help but be a witness. You'll become a city set on a hill which cannot be hid. Because you have victory, you have hope, you have peace, and they can't buy it, they can't drink it, they can't shoot it into their veins. But you've got it. But if you don't have it, talking to them about your religious beliefs, their ear is closed. We have a living God. We have a listening God. We have a loving God. And we have a lifting God. He lifted me from the miry clay. Put my feet where? Where I'm going to keep slipping right back in. Again and again and again and again and again and again and again. No. He lifted me from the miry clay. He established me. He put my feet on a rock. And therefore, my song has changed. Always making melody in your heart to the Lord. Speaking to yourself in psalms. There's one right there. And hymns and spiritual songs. Always making melody in your heart to the Lord. Say so in your song of praise. Can you say amen? Say so in your testimony. Let the redeemed open their mouth and praise me. Hallelujah. How consistent was praise in David's mouth? I will bless the Lord when I'm really on top, when things are really, really going well. No, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. He said the humble are going to hear about this. And that word humble, again, is not the virtue of humility. It's those that are crushed by the pressures and problems of life. Faulty bodies in a fallen world with a foe called the devil. There's going to be pressure brought to bear. But when they see where God took me from and where God has established me. And they see the King praising God and magnifying Him and calling them to worship with Him. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us corporately exalt His name together. Don't let the preacher get happy and you stay sad. Can you say amen? Come on, amen. Oh, Brother Venable, if I lived in a bubble like you and I just had this favor of God to where you have no problems, no. Hunting season's coming up. Some of those preachers hunt. Anybody ever been unspiritual enough to read The Far Side when it was in the paper, funny papers? You know, you have a caption, you have a picture of a boneless chicken farm, and you see a bunch of chickens just laying flat on the ground because they have no bones. It's Far Side. It's weird humor. I know. Tell her it's going to be okay. It's okay, just so she knows. So during hunting season on the far side, there was two deer standing on their hind legs. Says hunting season open on a sign on a tree. They're standing on their hind legs looking at one another. Hunting season is now open. And one of them has a target. Has the rings and what's the centerpiece called? The bullseye, right in the middle, right here on the white part of his fur. And the other one's looking at that target. Hunting season is now open. He says, bummer of a birthmark, Earl. Bummer of a birthmark, Earl. Earl was marked, bullseye and all, dead center. You know what the devil does when somebody gets the victory, lives in victory, preaches victory, teaches victory, gets down but gets back up, because that's what victory is for the believer. You know what he is? She is a target. I got a birthmark. I got a birthmark on me. I got a birthmark somewhere here on the back of my neck. And my sons both have a birthmark on the back of their neck. And that says, amen, they're from the same daddy. It's part of the identification. It's not just in name only. They got a birthmark, and they got DNA. Well, I've got a new birthmark on me. Can you say, man, I got some new DNA in me. Oh, you want scripture? You want to stay here till one? It's one now. We should have been done and gone. Amen. His seed. Don't even say amen again. His seed remaineth in me. What? His seed remaineth. His seed remaineth. Something happened when I got saved. Amen. Hallelujah. I got born again. Amen. The devil's no more my daddy. My father, God, is my father. Can you say amen? And his seed remaineth in us, that we sin not. That mean you can't? No, it means that you have a bent toward righteousness, because the nature of Almighty God has been transmitted unto you. You've been translated out of the powers of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And we ought to live like people that have been translated and transformed and are getting ready to be transferred from heaven, from earth to heaven. Can you say amen? Translated, transformed, and getting ready to be transferred. Jesus is coming soon. But before I leave, I want the world to know about this King. I want the world to know about this kingdom, and that I'm not like others who have no hope without God and without hope in the world. I have God. I have somebody with me to share my heavy load. I feel His presence near me every day. Though trouble overtakes me on life's weary road, I have somebody with me all the way, and I know who He is. He's good, and His mercy endures forever. Will you stand to your feet today? I want to ask you something. Will you let me teach you the Word? Will you follow me as I follow Christ? Do you believe that you can rise above the atmosphere of fear that is gripping the entire world? As a Christian, do you have a hope that goes beyond the politicians? Do you actually have a hope? Do you believe that God is bigger than the Democratic Party or the Republican Party? Do you understand there's no candidate that you could put all the eggs in that basket? Nobody running for anything that could straighten out the mess that this country's in right now? Do you understand that? Do you get that? Who's going to run? You know what? Let me tell you this. They and all of you sad people, listen to me a minute, and the rest of you too. God wants you to get over it. He never wanted you to put your eggs in that basket to begin with. The reason they all got cracked and broken, because they were in that basket. And when that basket drops, they crack and they break. We're talking about a God here. We need a revival in America. We need a revival in America. We need a revival in the church. I need revival in my heart. You need revival in your home. You need revival in your life. We all need the breath of heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need praying people. We need soldiers, prayer warriors that can bring this whole country before God. That can bring the pulpits in America before God. Pray for them that have the rule over you. And kings and those that are in authority that will pray. Have you ever prayed for the most despicable politicians up there? Do you believe there is a Saul that cannot ever become a Paul? That God can't fix them? He can fix everybody else, but he couldn't never fix that person. So why bother even praying? Saul of Tarsus would have never, ever, ever got saved if God wasn't who he is. Hallelujah. And if his mercy didn't endure forever. So let's just quit praying. Let's just quit believing. Let's catch those fiery darts on our wooden shields. And when the heat gets on, let's just drop that shield. And now the piercing, the worry, the anxiety, the fear begins to grip us. And we come under the same depression. It's hopeless. We're helpless. No, we're not. We're God's vanguard. We're God's ambassadors. We're the representatives of a kingdom which cannot be shaken, because the foundation standeth sure. Can you say amen? The Lord knoweth them that are his. The Lord is good. His mercies are new. When? Every single morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, we're almost gone. Should have been gone. You can tell it's my belly's kicking in. I sat under that tree at Tampa Electric. And I said, I wish I had, because I loved it. I wish. I wasn't praying for it. I just wish I had. My own fault, I didn't fix myself a lunch, but I wish I had a Spam sandwich on hillbilly bread with mustard. Spam sandwich, hillbilly bread, mustard on it. And there was a man started looking at me. He was eating his lunch. He had ate part of a sandwich. He pulled out another sandwich. And I thought, boy, that guy's hungry. Like me. But he's got a lunch and I don't. And he came over to where I was sitting. He said, did you bring a lunch, Robert? I said, no, sir. I got up and got in a hurry and forgot it. He said, would you like a sandwich? And I said, no, that's okay. It was my own fault. I should have fixed me something. I didn't want to take his other sandwich. And I said, give me that sandwich. Give me that sandwich. My pants are catching on fire. Liar. No, I was just trying to be, you know, I'm not trying to just be dishonest. I'm just trying to not take his sandwich when it's my fault. He said, I'm not going to eat this sandwich. My wife won't fix me too if I take it home. And I thought, I'm a merciful man. I don't want your wife to not fix you a sandwich. Amen. I said, I'll take it. I'll take it then so that don't happen. And lo, do you know the rest of the story? You know how good God is? You know what the sandwich was? It wasn't bologna. It wasn't ham. It wasn't ham on rye. It wasn't turkey. It wasn't egg salad or tuna salad. It was a Spam sandwich. It had mustard on it. It was on hillbilly bread. I thought, Lord, Lord. Lord, listen, it's just a little old sandwich. It's just a little thing. But the hairs of your head is numbered. And if you delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. Hallelujah. And I learned something. God is good. Is He dangerous? You bet. But He's good. You can obtain mercy from Him. You can have His peace, His love, His grace. You can be confident in the Lord. He knows you. He loves you. He wants to help you. He wants to heal you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to provide for you. He wants to protect you because He's your Heavenly Father. Amen. Hallelujah. And I believe He wants to set us apart from the depression and the oppression that is coming to engulf the entire globe. As it gets worse and worse, and we stand in faith and sing the high praises of God. Hallelujah. And give Him the glory that is due Him because we've come to know Him. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of this teaching? All right. Thank you for bringing a lift me up song. I needed it. I don't live in a bubble. But it's your kindness today. It's that man that mowed my yard. It's y'all taking care of this for me. Take another layer off of me so I can be about my Father's business today. I believe your faith is going to grow. I believe a shield is going to be fabricated here in this place. A shield of faith. And I believe that shield is going to quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. And you are going to rise up a warrior with God's own armor. And having done all, which doesn't mean something for you to do, it's something that faith allows God to do. Having overcome all in the Greek. Having, past tense, what He did at the cross. Having overcome all, stand. Hallelujah. Loins girt about with truth. Breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation. Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we need the knowledge that you came to give us. Teach our fingers to fight and our hands to war. Teach us how to see victory in our lives. For our good, yes, but more importantly, for your glory. For when we walk in victory, we glorify you. And we praise you when you come through in our behalf. And whoso offereth praise glorifies me. And to him that orders his conversation aright, to him I will show the salvation, the deliverance, the help, the answered prayer of my God. Can you say amen? To him that orders his behavior, orders his words aright, to him I will show the deliverance of my God. Psalm 51, last verse. Praise God. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Hallelujah. 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 It's hard to quit, but we got to. Father, I pray that as we grow in the Lord in these services and we grow in the Word of God, that we will walk in that victory. Fear will be defeated. Depression will go. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God. Hallelujah. Look in my heart and see that I love you and my trust is in you. And I want to bring honor and glory to you with my life. Praise God and bless accordingly. Hallelujah. Somebody's going to walk out of here with the shield of faith held high. Somebody's going to come back next week without losing any ground, but holding the ground that you've grabbed a hold of in this service. Somebody's going to get healed in this place. Somebody's going to get delivered. Somebody's going to get set free. Somebody's going to get blessed. I want you to have that spirit of expectation. Somebody's going to go to work with a different attitude than the rest of those people. And I'm not just talking about pagans. I'm talking about people who went to church on Sunday and nothing changed in their life. Can you say amen? Somebody's got to stand out in the crowd so that somebody will say, what's the reason, Mike, for your hope? What's the reason, Brother Taylor, for your hope? Where do you get that from? And you can tell them about Jesus. And believe me, they're going to ask if they see a difference in you. And that's why the devil fights you. Bummer of a birthmark. Hallelujah. You're born again. You got the mark of Jesus on you, the mark of God on you. And the devil's going to try to hurt you, but the shield of faith says, ain't going to happen. Not today, not tomorrow, and not ever. Hallelujah. Praise God for victory. We would have a song, but it's getting late. Can you take what you've learned this week? Wave at me if you got something out of this service more than just coming to church and never being challenged. Do it again so I feel really good. All right. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. God make His face to shine upon you. Lift His countenance upon you. Turn His face towards you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Go eat the fat and drink the sweet.